lead up, so we'll try that. Good evening, folks. Welcome to Big Footy Tiger Cast on Monday night. I'm just trying to work out how to watch the game for free next week. So if anyone's got any suggestions, put them in the comments below. Because that one confused me. I know last year, I'm pretty confident Fox Footy showed the Melbourne game that we played last year, but all the information that's out kind of suggests that this is just on KO. And I don't have KO, but I think you can sign up and they maybe show some other games here and there. So if anyone's got suggestions or ideas, let us know. But Grok, welcome back, mate. How's it going?
Yeah, going well. Yeah, good to be back. Haven't been on for a while. Obviously, life's gotten in the way, but nah, good to be back.
Very clear camera there as well, noticing. I'm liking it.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. It's the same laptop that I've always used, but yeah, I think the internet's starting to clear up a little bit.
Oh, very good. You didn't borrow Tiggs Roxy's internet or anything like that?
No, and there's no storms out and about at the moment. My internet should be okay right tonight as well.
Oh, CB, we're boring you already. Sorry, mate. How are you?
Just a long plane trip back from America for you and me, mate. Hope you pulled up all right yes. after this 10-hour flight, you know?
Yeah, bit of jet lag. So for those not aware, a Yank on Footy podcast, Craig had CB and I on, gee, how hard was that to say, on Sunday morning. So we chatted for about an hour and a bit, just about the 2024 season, 2025 season. So when that comes out, it's probably a couple of weeks away because he's got a few in the bank to edit and post. He'll obviously tag us and we'll share it around. But my Zoom just hates my computer. It just kept dropping in and out. So thank you for carrying there, CB. It was good fun.
I know where you can get a secondhand $9,000 one, mate.
I know. I might have to hit Tiggs up for that. But I welcome everybody in chat as well. Thank you for joining us on the Monday nights. Oh, God, how are you, mate? Merch. Yeah, into getting a better Zoom. But, well, we thought we would gather tonight. So tonight, for full transparency, and not to throw anyone under the bus, tonight was actually meant to be with Cameron Hicks. He was going to be talking about the upcoming draftees. I've got some slides and stuff ready to go, but he's been called back to work. So we're going to do something on Wednesday night. I'm not sure if that'll be live or pre-recorded or what it will be. But yeah, we're going to go through 10 or 12 draft picks whenever that happens. But we thought regardless, we'll bring a normal weekly show because we're getting very, very close to our first scratch match against the Eagles, which we will get to at the end. But make sure as well during the night, if you think of any questions, feel free to send them through. But firstly,
I got one, Michael.
I got one.
Connor Williams, not Tigers, right? Served Jordan Lewis today. Can I ask, how was Jordan Lewis after those teenagers stole a car and rode off his brand new vehicle about 3 days ago?
Oh,
in the
really?
Motor Dragon Melbourne.
I missed that. Thursday, I think it was.
Yeah.
Oh, God. So
I hope he's okay.
Yeah, that's not good at all. I suppose the first thing I want to get everyone's thoughts on, we still haven't officially had captaincy or leadership group announced. I did, however, think it was very interesting, the video the club posted up on the website, in the life of Nank, something to that effect about his time at the club and him thanking people, whatever. I thought it was interesting. I don't know if it felt like it was alluding to him being captain. Did anyone else get that vibe as well?
I could swear I think he's captain again this year.
There was an article that had mentioned Captain Toby Nankervis, but it wasn't anything official from the club. So I don't know whether they were going off history or if there's something known that just hasn't been announced. I haven't seen anything official yet.
Well, the club announced, I think it was today, they were advertising a family fest, I think on Friday, Valentine's Day.
Correct.
And they said there'll be talks from the leadership group. So I assume we'll know by Friday what the leadership group's going to officially look like.
Yeah, okay, interesting. We'll say that. Okay, so nothing official yet. All right, we'll keep an eye on that space and see what unfolds there.
Just anything other than having two captains. I hate that concept. Just have one captain, one or two vice captains. That's all you need. No more.
I think a few clubs are starting to go down that path now as well, which is good. Damien Hardwick was in the news the other day in relation to Dustin Martin, which has kind of put a final full stop to this crazy, just weird saga about Dusty playing for the Gold Coast. So Dimmer had said that obviously there was dialogue between the Suns and Dusty, but it was ultimately Dusty that pulled the pin on it and said he wants to stay retired as a one club player, which we all knew was the case. But the one thing for me that does prove is that it wasn't Dusty approaching them, it was them approaching Dusty, whereas the media kind of portrayed it the other way around, because logically if Dusty approached them and Gold Coast were keen to get him on, then it would have happened. So I just feel like that it pretty much strongly suggests that it was all one-way traffic. And I can understand, you know, why Dimmer and Gold Coast would have a crack at it. But yeah, very, very good to hear that Dusty was much more adamant on being a one-club player and going down as a Richmond legend, which he would have anyway, to be fair. But it's just nice that that's now hopefully officially all closed, done and dusted.
We never wavered.
Yeah. We never wavered.
Wavered once this show. Yeah. So
it was, yeah, complete horseshit the whole time. And you look at all the articles that came out knowing that he's going nowhere. And it's just ambulance chasers trying to, you know, start shit to make a name for themselves, to big note them. So yeah, just be a complete bunch of horseshit.
And we stuck the course. Yep. So no, I'm very, very happy with that. I think the club had a bit of a lighter week last week, so there wasn't too much to report. But before we start talking about the match sim, I'm actually really scared to say this in case it backfires, but it's just been nice that we're at the 10th of Feb and we're not kind of in the news on the injury front. So I want to give Ben Serpell and the club a shout out. I know if it backfires, I'm going to get smashed.
Why would you do that? Jesus Christ.
Because I just think they're doing a really good job, and we're seeing a lot of players from a lot of clubs go down, and it's like, it's just glad it's not us for once. Touching wood, it stays that way.
God damn you. God damn you.
Yeah. Why would you
have to acknowledge good work when it happens? Serpell's doing good work, and we need to acknowledge it.
He didn't have to raise the I word, though. He could have just said the strength and conditioning department are doing a fantastic job.
All right, maybe I could have gone generic. Maybe we'll scrap that from the record and we'll go again. I know what's coming my way. It's all right. It's fine. In Serpell we trust. It's fine. It's fine.
It's okay. It wasn't me that said it, so it's not going to jinx it.
Yeah.
My track record of jinxing things on this podcast.
Pretty high. So there was some match simulation today, and it's been like trying to extract blood from a stone to find out anything about what was going on there. So like always, whenever we see good information on this, we do give a shout out and point people in the right direction. So HK Tiger was at the match sim today from Punt Road End. So shout out to HK Tiger, literally the only person who was seemingly there to be able to give us any kind of information, because all day Richmond supporters are clicking refresh on every platform known to mankind to try and find out anything. Just as a bit of a side thing, it's kind of probably the one thing that's bugged me a little bit. The club hasn't done a lot for supporters in that space, and I can understand the argument about trying to keep your cards close to your chest and stuff like that. But I don't know about everyone else, but I definitely get a big case of FOMO when you see other clubs posting clips and videos of what they're doing on Match Sim. But anyway, in terms of the match sim stuff, it's obviously gearing up for the game against West Coast, which we will talk about shortly. Out of the draftees, Lawler, Sims, Elgar and Armstrong played in the match sim. Jonty Fall, Smiley and Trainer in rehab. I suppose the rehab part, guys, it seems like it's a bit of a revolving door and doesn't necessarily mean they're injured, although we know that Smiley did cop a bit of an injury pre-Christmas, so he's probably the exception. And Jonty Fall coming back from back injuries. Trainer, there's no reported injury there, so I'm guessing this is just more of a younger player being managed, and like Nathan Broad said on the club's pod, they need to hold him back. But good to hear about Lawler, Sims and Elgar and Armstrong having a hit out in the match sim.
Yeah.
100%.
The second and third periods, the most important thing I took from this is there's actually seemingly a game plan that is now seen and coming to life. And I think what will be impressive for the most supporters to hear is there seems to be lots of two-way running, which I think Grock was missing quite substantially last year. I'm not sure why. To me, two-way running is really an effort-based thing, which everyone can do. It doesn't matter if you're the most skilled or the least skilled player. That part of your game can always happen. So it just seems like the players are buying into whatever we're trying to do and whatever direction we're trying to go, which is good to see.
Young and hungry.
Yeah, absolutely. From what I've heard, last year was a bit of a trial for Uze to see where our defensive frailties were, to see where we could be exposed, obviously, with a young list. So last year was a bit of a write-off in terms of game plan. He was just get the players out there, test what they can do, test their capabilities, see where their sort of deficiencies were, so that way you can hit the ground running this year with a complete clean slate, new draftees in, get them in for a game plan that he's going to instill with the players that he wants. So I don't look at last year as really anything. I think we all knew that 2025 plus was going to be Uze's real first crack at it. So it's no surprise that they're starting to see the game plan now that Uze's getting the players that he wants and he's starting to build the list around sort of what his expectations are.
Grok, question without notice. Do you reckon by round 14, when half our club's out injured, we're getting our dicks stomped on? You reckon we couldn't work out that we had some defensive frailties at about that stage?
100%.
Just saying.
Absolutely. I agree.
It was frustrating, but there was like plenty of reason and circumstances to why that was happening. But yeah, good to hear there's some method. And I think there's no denying that Blake Carousella being back in the mix feels like a huge part of it. Even to see the video of Chris Newman on the club website today, even he's saying like how much it's been great to have Blake back and the amount he's learning from him as well. I think we're going to see a very, very big difference in the way the ball moves with Blake back in the mix.
Well, like you said, you read in that training report, like that there seems to be, again, you know, some great passages, some a bit rough, as you'd expect this time of year. But the consensus is, yeah, that there was a semblance of a plan backwards and forwards. So the proof will be in the eating in reality. We'll know, because the problem you've got with intra-clubs is everybody knows the game plan, right? So everybody knows where to go. Everyone knows everyone's strengths and weaknesses. So you won't know anything until we actually line up against West Coast. And I hate to be the doom prophet, but sometimes when you have really bad intra-clubs, it does lead into your full season. So I am hoping that we are competitive in the first two hitouts, because that means we'll be competitive at least going into the first game, into round one.
Yeah, exactly right. It's just all about setting up those good habits, isn't it, Grok? You want to get into, I don't want to say winning mentality, but doing the right things more often than not. And I think with the age profile of our lists and the directions we want to go in, for this year and next year, I think sometimes when it comes to ball movement and certain passes we try, you're just going to have to take the good with the bad.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think we've understood that we're probably not going to be the best team skills-wise. So I think they're really making the focus on the fitness, especially with Serple at the club. As Luana just said, Brody did mention how they're being able to run more and more frequently as well. So I think they're putting a real high emphasis on the fitness and, you know, the endurance and the repeat efforts, and also the effort around the contest. I think that was something that we really lacked a little bit last year as well. There just didn't really seem to be anybody wanting to make that contest and really hit the contest hard. And I think that's something that Uze is really focused on this year. You're seeing a lot of the drills that they're really making a focus of sticking their tackles, which is something that has sort of plagued us for a few years now, is the amount of broken tackles from opposition. So it's been great to see that they're actually looking at those things that can be tweaked that are going to help us, because there are going to be sides that blow us away, no doubt about that this year. But if it comes down to some of the games like the Carlton game, round one, there was a toss of the coin all game. And if we can tweak those things 5-10% and get better at it 5-10%, we'll bank some wins.
Yeah. And what I liked about Brody's interview, CB, was that they're kind of weirdly embracing and taking on all the external noise about you're only going to win one game or you might not win any games. It sounds like from his view and maybe the club's view that they view this season as a free hit, kind of, and feel like a bit of a Hawthorn. Not saying we're going to get the same results as a Hawthorn of last year, of course, but I think what he probably means by that is they're looking to play with a lot of dare and a lot of excitement and to hopefully we can drag a few along the way.
Well, I ran out of time, but I was meant to actually re-listen to Serple's interview and Brody's and just make some notes. The things I'll say about Serple, the off memory, the takeouts were when you talk about the fitness and the running, he was talking about running efficiencies. So that was a real big takeaway there. And also our conservatism around injury management and basically how we're managing, particularly the knee rehab group. So,
yeah.
it's not necessarily a bad thing that you won't see some of these blokes till round four, what have you, because it's a targeted approach where we're going to make sure they are 110% ready to go rather than 80% because we're desperate to win a game in the first month. So that's tremendous. On Brody, the takeout I took from him, the one thing that stuck in my head was he said that when Serple put the program in place, it wasn't choose your own adventure. It was, this is the program, and you're doing it. And I think the player group may have been a little bit shocked by the forthrightness of his approach.
Yep.
And it wasn't so much choose your own adventure and everybody get around and hug each other. This was more a bit more old school by the sounds of it. And like I said, I think the coaching additions we've had this off-season with Carousella, with Stevie Morris, who's done some excellent work in the VFL program, very confident in improvement in the players, purely based on fitness and a semblance of a game plan. I'm very confident, very buoyant.
Yeah, exactly. Similar to you, I was very pleased to hear about the taking the time with the ACL crew. And obviously it'd be extremely frustrating for them. Someone like Juddy Clark, who's very almost right to go, but is being held back and he's been doing like the boundary line work and match sim and stuff like that. It would be very frustrating, but I think he's going to see the benefits of just waiting that extra 1 or 2 months just while the graft does its thing in the back end of its healing process, which is good. A couple of players who seem to be impressing in the match sim track for the last few games, to be honest. Tim Taranto was one. The second player I want to mention, CB, you made a bit of a bold call about on our show on Sunday night. Jacob Hopper has been impressing in match sim, and it's no secret that he's probably been the fittest he's been in an off-season, not running with any injuries. I think Serpel even said that Hopper said to him he's the fittest that he's felt like he's ever been. And CB, please tell the audience, what was your call on Jacob Hopper that you made the other night?
It was two calls. I'm literally that guy sitting at the table with that sign that says, change my mind. Jacob Hopper is actually the second best pure mid we have at the club behind Dion Prestia. Such is his talent. And people, unfortunately, Richmond people will scoff at that, but we haven't seen the best of him, unfortunately, due to injury, right? If he can stay on the field and give us an 18 to 20 game season, you can bookmark me and stick it right up me if I'm way wrong here. I'm saying he'll win our best and fairest this year because he has the talent to take it out. And he's good. He's a very good footballer. I think we haven't managed him as well as we could have, I would have thought.
I'm with you on that. I think Hopper's in for a really good season based on his fitness levels. The style of game that he plays that is natural to him is where he goes in and crushes the packs and is the body, underneath, everyone else trying to fight for the ball. And when he's running at 80%, 90% fitness and he's constantly carrying a niggle and he's constantly sore, even through preseason, he was never going to be able to play his game 100%. So I think the fact that he's now had his first actual proper preseason in 5 or 6 years with no surgeries, nothing like that, hitting the ground running, I think we'll actually see him get back to his best.
I hope you're right. I don't want you to be wrong. I think that, unfortunately, a lot of Richmond people are a little bit sour on Hopper coming over because the price we paid for he and Taranto, it seems to be a constant talking point. But I think there does have to be a small acknowledgement that he hasn't had a proper crack at it from a fitness perspective, whether that's a combination of his fault, our fault, whatever it might be. But I do agree, CB, I think we'll see the best of him as a fully fit Jacob Hopper in 2025.
And Mark, and the flip side is we need him, guys like him, Taranto, Lynch, Miller. We need a few of those boys to stand up this year. So we actually need to get a lot of footy out of him as well. So there's that component.
Absolutely. And even looking at it from the point of view of when we play Smiley or Lawler through the midfield, having Hopper, who's our biggest bodied mid, will take some pressure off the younger boys too. So it's important that he stays fit.
Yep.
Good point here from Wunkin Drookie. Very good name, by the way. We've either had injured Hopper or skinny Hopper. We now have fit GWS size Hopper. So that's a really interesting point, and it's one that I think we're all looking forward to seeing come 2025, start of season. In terms of some other players that have stood out in the match sim in recent times, Jack Ross has been one, even though he's played on the other side, so not in the side with Hopper and Taranto. He's still been doing really good things. I think the week before he might have played in the probable side. I suppose you've got to find balance when they do these things so one team doesn't get just wiped off the park. I know Jack Ross missed, 12 or 13 games last year through injury. I think this year, Grock has to be his year to step up and really cement himself in the midfield. He's got the skill. He's got the capability. He just needs the opportunity.
Absolutely, and that's where I was a little disappointed for Rossi this year, because I thought at the end of 2023, his last six games, he played really, really well. He was hitting the scoreboard from the midfield and everything like that. And obviously last year was a bit of a write-off. But he's always been fighting for a position with Jack Graham. It was either you play Graham or you play Ross. You generally haven't played both of them. So now that Jack Graham's gone, I think this is the chance. And given what Rossi showed in the games where he was back to fitness sort of towards the end of this year and his consistency, he was racking up the 20 possessions a game and you wouldn't really notice it, which I think just goes to show that he does his job without being outstanding. And he's just going to be one of those players that's just a consistent player for us. So I definitely think he'll cement himself this year, but he won't be an out-and-out gun. He'll just get the job done week in, week out.
Anything further for that CB for Jack Ross?
Nah, look, I've got him my best 22, 23. So, yeah. Without a doubt. Look, not everyone's going to be Rolls Royces. You need your ditch diggers as well as you need your accountants and lawyers, mate. So he'll do a fair bit of grunt work for us, and he's quite a serviceable footballer. So, yeah.
On the defensive part of the ground, Trezise had another really good hit out today, as did Tom Brown. And Tom Brown actually ditched the no contact cap after one of the first periods, I think. Trezise is an interesting one, isn't he? Because he's one that we probably have all wanted to see more of, but his body's kind of let him down a couple of times over the last couple of years, and we haven't been able to see him get just that continuity. I've always sort of maintained that Trezise and Caleb Smith are probably the ones putting their hand up for the other halfback role made vacant by Rioli. Maybe it feels like now Trezise is ahead in that race with Caleb Smith fractionally behind and Jaden Short on the other side. What's everyone's thoughts on Trezise? Are we thinking he's close to being a lock for starting 22 for round one? What's the ceiling? What's the limit with Trezise?
He's good enough. He's good enough to be in your best 23, but the problem is he's not ahead of Broad. He's not ahead of the blokes who are automatically in those positions. And that's unfortunate for him, but he will get his time. He's good enough to play top 23 footy.
Yeah, he's a victim of the position he plays in that he's that taller third type rebounding defender. And we've got Broad, we've got Floston, we've got Gibkiss, we've got, Tom Brown. We've got Trainer who's just joined. So we've got plenty of those third tall types, and he's sort of been a victim of that. I think for this balance, if we're talking about a like-for-like replacement, it's probably Smith that comes in for Rioli. Just because I think it'll be a bit too much having Trezise in with Floston and Brown and Broad. And we like just having Short as our only run out of the back line, I think makes us a little bit too slow. So, yeah, I definitely think Trezise has been unlucky. I just don't see how he plays more than five or six games this year unless it's through injury.
And Caleb Smith does have some serious wheels. He was one of the quicker players in his draft year, and he did play off the half-back line there as well. So he knows what he's doing in that role. I just haven't heard his name pop up a lot this off-season, but hopefully he starts to ramp it up. And I'd love to see him get a crack at it against the Eagles. Luke Trainer's the other one as well that Dave mentioned too. He's probably going to be in contention for a similar spot. I actually kind of think the Trainer could be a wing player in the future as well. But, yeah, I'm not sure if he's going to get a game really early, but the club seems super impressed with him, to be honest. Serpell and Broad both said, really, really good player. Have to hold him back because he just wants to keep going at it, which is good. You'd rather that than the opposite. But how does Trainer fit into the mix? If we're talking Trainer and Trezise and Caleb Smith all kind of duking it out for that similar spot, where does he fit into it?
I could see them playing Trainer up forward for a little bit. He had played forward a little bit through his junior footy and some of his early rep footy. So he's no stranger to doing that. And if they really want to get games into him, for example, let's, God forbid, something happens to Gibkiss again this year, if they really want to get that sort of third tall intercept athletic player to get games into him to develop him really quick. Yeah, I could see him playing sort of just like a mobile, tall half forward who pushes up to the wing a little bit. But yeah, I don't see Trainer playing all that many games this year.
Problem you've got Bearer. I believe Bauer will be our second key forward. And then you've got Lafau to come back in possibly as your third tall option as well. I think, again, unfortunately for him, he's going to have to bide his time and get his development in the VFL. And then injury will give him opportunity, there's no doubt. But you would think the wing, like, see, I've got Banks. So the question is, what do you do with Banks? There's another one, because if you've got Brown in your half back line, you've got Brown and if you've got Brown and Vlosten on your halfback flanks and Short in your back pocket with, you know, the wings will be interesting. Hugo's got one locked down. And if they're moving Ross into the midfield.
Hugo and Seth Campbell for me will be our wings.
Well, based on last year. I think Seth's half forward changing on ball. Same with MRJ, same with Lawler.
And I've had Banks on my wing for quite a few months now, but every time I read a Matsim report, he's playing off half back to James Rayson's point. So maybe they've got him earmarked as one of the other half back roles.
He could be the one that they view as the real replacement.
What's good though is we actually, when everyone's fit, we've actually got options. We've got some different things we can take a look at and mix and match during games. Whether that translates with the players adapting quick enough on the field in real time, who knows? But it's good to see that there's. Even though we finished last and had a crap year last year, it's good to see we've still got some selection headache issues in a more positive way. The other player that keeps having very good hit-outs, and I know I get shot down for this one, but I'm hoping I'm starting to get proven right, Samson Ryan again outplayed Nate today. Now, I know the biggest question is what kind of output is Nate going with in a match sim? I think reality is he's still got to be competing for a spot. I don't think he's not the kind of person, I don't think, that would be half-assing match sim. And if he wasn't fit enough to play it, he wouldn't be playing it. They would have someone else in there because that's just the mantra we're going by at the moment. I still think that this is going to be a big breakout year for Samson Ryan. He's entering the age bracket that rucks usually come on. He's got a bit more size about him. He's taking marks around the ground now, which has, I know, been a big knock of his for previous years. He's probably a better kick of the ball than what Nanky's now other ruck options are. I just think he's maybe picking up a bit more confidence in this offseason that he can compete with the big boys. Whether that's, because of Nank not putting in as much effort, I don't know. But for the last three match sims, and I've heard from a VFL player of ours via someone I know, that if they were to pick tomorrow, that Ryan would be the number one ruck choice to start the season.
It's not a bad thing.
No. Especially against, like, De Koning, if we're talking about round one, having Ryan, number one, who's mobile, can get around the ground, against De Koning, who's also mobile and gets around the ground, I think that's probably a decent choice. But the one thing with Samson is he needs to work on his marking, obviously, like especially the contested marking. For a bloke of his height, it's almost like he's too scared to use it in a contest. He just needs to find some sort of aggression against, like with defenders, like use his size, use his frame, like stand in front, sort of. He, like with his height and his mobility, he should be modelling his game a little bit off Max Gawn in the way that Gawn plays, that sort of lanky, laconic, but can move all over the ground. Like that's who he should be modelling his game off.
Yeah. Look, I know it's only training and practice and whatever, but I would rather see him put in positive performances and positive efforts now to hopefully roll on into against opposition. I'd be more alarmed if he was getting smacked by Nankin and was still hoping that he's going to come on, because I just don't think it would happen that way. I think, Dabo, give up on the big man at your own risk. I say that purely from an age profile perspective. You've got to think, all the ruckmen, no one really comes on until this age. He's now actually got that bit more size behind him. I just think there's a bit to play out there. I could ultimately be wrong. I just think that we don't want to go too soon on that call. Greg's asked, do we think any of the young talls will play early? So from the matching perspective, Armstrong played, Sims played. I think he's probably less likely of the newer players to get a game early, although he has impressed. But Armstrong probably is the one at the front of the line, I dare say, just because Jonty Falls coming back from an injury, so he's probably less likely. Would that Fawcett. Be the view? Fawcett as well?
Yeah, Fawcett. I think out of, Fawcett will be the one at the front.
So do you reckon it's out of he and Armstrong? Because I agree with you, CB. I think Bauer's got the second spot alongside Lynch. If we're going with the three, the Uzay's triangle, who makes up the third?
Well, the problem you might have is if you're playing two rucks, it's probably going to be Ryan or Nankervis as the third forward.
That's a fair call too.
So if you're going in with two rucks, you're not bringing in Armstrong at this stage or Fawcett.
That's a fair point because it could, if we did go with the third tall forward and then Samson, Ryan and Nank into the same game, we'd be far too tall, wouldn't we, Grok? We'd actually be shooting ourselves in the foot somewhat.
Yeah, my only concern is if we play the two rucks and you've got a forward line of Lynch and Nank, there's no mobility there in the talls. Whereas someone like but Bauer doesn't really push up to the wings. He's a sort of a swingman. He'll stay forward or he'll stay back.
I think that's what you'll find is if Tom Lynch is having a full preseason, that was Tom Lynch's role. Lynch was the guy who used to push Jack a bit at the back, and Lynch used to be your exit kick. So
it's going to be interesting how it works.
Yeah. So I don't know. Yeah. That's your conundrum. You play two rucks, you're not carrying an extra tall in the forward line.
So we'll play out the hypotheticals. Let's say we just take Samson Ryan or Justin. We'll go with Samson Ryan for the moment. If we go with him just as the sole main ruckman, would you play another tall forward? And who would do the second rucking? Knowing that Bolter's out for a few weeks, Miller?
Miller will probably do it. Because then you'll have Blight back. Blight should be fit by round one. Blight will be the main number one defender.
So would we be assuming that the back two would be a Miller and Blight combo, and then then Miller has to do the relief rucking?
There's no way. There's no way that's happening against Curno and...
Yeah. Probably not round one. I don't think they'll risk that. I think they'll have to play Ryan and Nang against Carlton. But if it's against another club that's probably not a mobile athletic ruckman, let's say Adelaide with Riley O'Brien, who's more your big lumbering type, then you could probably get away with playing one ruckman against them.
Yeah. So that's just my opinion. When you think round one, we'll see what happens.
They're a very unique forward setup, aren't they? The Blues, they're two of the biggest and best forwards in the comp. Although Curno might be a chance to miss if he keeps getting all these niggas and injuries that keep racking up. But Millie, I reckon he's mobile enough to do the chopping out of the ruck work, John. It's just a little bit of a brief chop out.
But it's going to look even it's going to be even more confusing once LaFau gets back, because he was that massive point of difference with the way that he hit up and let at the ball. So once he comes back, it's going to look really, really interesting.
And to see, to Noel's point, I was about to say exactly this, Noel, that it's going to be fascinating to watch our VFL side as well, with the amount of youth that we've injected into the club, plus the natural progression of these second and third year players that maybe aren't playing AFL level, that are trying to push for a spot. It's going to be fascinating. Jake Batchelor is going to have a rip of time with these kids if they can get it together. And I think we're hopefully getting back to a point where we've got competition for spots. That's probably the one thing we haven't had for a little while. There's kind of just been a bit of a big gap between what's coming through and how good they are. But I feel like now, because a lot of experience has left that were guaranteed games each week, that the gap's kind of closed a little bit.
Absolutely. And this is where Batch has become one of the more important figures in our future planning. If he's going to be the one coaching most of these kids for this first season, because they're not playing AFL, he's going to be the one that's on the front lines with them, obviously observing their development and reporting back and everything like that. So they've placed a lot of trust in Batch there. So it's I'm really looking forward to the VFL.
So no, I am too. It's going to be huge. Now, before I do the next thing, this is a great question. So today, Trent Koch, and I didn't know this, was announced as part of Channel 7's cast for Dancing with the Stars. Which Big Footy Tiger cast member should get a Guernsey on Dancing 2026? Tell you what, I reckon I reckon Twinkle Toes Tiggs could be up and about. He's a new man now. I would throw. Could you imagine the leather pants on the dance floor, Tiggs? I'd be throwing Tiggs in the limelight there for that. He would love it.
Yeah, 100%. 100%.
Just on quickly from Julia, thoughts on Campbell Gray? I thought he was probably almost next in line to get a shot up forward, but what I don't know is has Fawcett leapfrogged him? I haven't heard a lot about Campbell Gray this off-season. Have any of you gentlemen heard much about Campbell Gray? Is he in calculations? Like, what are we hearing there?
I mean, you'd assume so. He was unlucky that he did his shoulder last year when he did, because he was in line to actually make his debut because of the injuries up forward. So, yeah, I'm not too sure on Gray where he actually sits. Obviously, he's the more senior body, but I've heard there are some question marks on how much development he's actually got left, whereas you look at the upsides on players like Fawcett and Fall Armstrong, it's whether they want to get games into the future, if they want to sort of plug the hole a little bit. It's going to depend on, I think, what the opposition is and what the thought process will be regarding the coaches, which way they want to go.
And Luke Traynor, no one's heard any more about the concussions. I actually think that these were blown up a little bit more by the media than what they actually were, because the amount of reading and asking around and researching I've done, I couldn't really find a hell of a lot on it as, like, in comparison to what was being spoken about. It just, nothing seems to align with it. So I don't think there's been anything else come of this, to be honest.
Well, he's been doing full contact the whole time. And like I said, yeah, they've been... Everybody's raving about his preseason, so yeah, I don't think, I'm not even going to Mozzies. Just, I'll just leave it to what was said in the official club podcast about Traynor.
And Sam, you got a good point here that the energy that these young kids are going to bring, and it sounds like they are when you look at the training videos as well. When the older players start talking, that it's a bit more upbeat, a bit more of a vibe going on down there. Players are having fun, competing for spots, all the rest of it. So it's good, it's healthy, it's what we needed, desperately needed.
Dave, yeah, I can guarantee Lynch won't play the West Coast game. He'll probably play the Collingwood game, which is how it's usually played the last few years with Lynch. He's missed the first prac and then played the second one on limited minutes before round one.
Yeah, I don't believe Presty will play either this week against West Coast. Speaking of West Coast, we are playing West Coast on Monday. Now, someone did mention before that they were going through the Foxtel guide and saw that it was on Foxtel at 9:30. Is that right?
They're probably in WA because it's 9:30 WA time. It's 12:30 Vic time.
So, okay. Well, hopefully the fact that it's on Fox Footy is probably the part that got me the most excited. So hopefully that stays as is. But what we're going to do, I've got an old school coaching board out. I'm just really ram at the clock here. We're going to try and put together what we think the starting lineup will be for this game against West Coast. So feel free to cast your votes as well. As EJ's dropped in, this is unexpected. How are you, mate?
How are we?
Good, yourself?
Yeah, what's going on? Pretty good, pretty good.
Oh, you coming just in time.
Good to see Pentridge let you out, mate. Good.
Yeah, day release. I was very close to going with the dungeon.
Is it a 6 p.m.? I'm actually not too sure. Do we know how long this game's going for against West Coast?
I thought I saw something about 3:25 or 15-minute periods.
Okay. All right. Might we look that up? I'll get my text to read.
Get a haircut, AJ. You're looking fantastic.
3 25-minute periods with 7-minute breaks between each period.
Right. That seems a long way to go to do just that. But anyway, it is what it is. Okay, so we're going to try and pick the starting 23 the best 23 for this game coming up against the Eagles. Back pocket, gents. Who's playing in the back pockets?
I'll nominate one. Trezise.
Yep. In the back pocket? Yep, are we all in agreement that Trezise will have a defensive role in this game against West Coast?
Yeah, obviously I've just jumped on it. I don't know what's going on, but yeah, yep.
So we're doing a predicted starting 23 for the West Coast practice game on Monday.
Oh, righty-o.
Yeah, I reckon Trezise is a good call.
We'll lock Trezise in. Who else do we think is going to get a fullback or a back pocket role?
Blight.
I think.
Do you reckon Jacob Blight for fullback?
Yeah.
Or yep. Miller?
Well, you can lock one of the other. The other will be centre half back.
I'll say Blight because it'll give him a chance to go see family. They normally like to do the family thing, don't they? It'll give him a chance to maybe catch up. Or
how's he recovered from that shoulder stinger? Is he recovered?
I was actually going to roll with Miller and Kaczynski as my two keys, and maybe Blight because of his shoulder might sit it out.
I reckon
I don't know what the discussion's been, but I reckon it's probably going to be pretty youth heavy.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah, I reckon so too. I think Cozzy's a good call. Just because we don't know about Blight's recovery. So I'll go with Cozzy. What about the other back pocket? So we've got Trezise, Cozzy. Who do you think will be taking? I'm not sure if Broad or Lawson are going to go over. Maybe one might. I'm not sure.
I reckon Broadie will.
WA boy, again, the chance to...
Exactly. Visit. And they'll take some leaders.
Yeah. Well, Short's been tearing it up. I think Short will get him.
So he's probably on the half-back. So the back pocket will go Broad. Are we happy with Broadie?
Yeah, definitely. Because I don't think Lynch and Nank will be going. That's just based on feeling. So I think Broad being the other leader probably goes.
Yeah.
So half-back line...
Is Nank not going because Ryan's been toweling him up?
Yep. No, I don't know why. I've just got a feeling.
I've heard a rumor at the moment that Nank Curvis checks under his bed for Samson Ryan, mate. That's how much he's owning in the intra clubs.
Half back line. I'll throw out some names. Caleb Smith, Tom Brown, are probably a couple. Sam Banks would be another one to consider. Jaden Short, obviously.
Who we think will Shorty in? How's Shorty's been tearing it up? I'll put Short in.
How's Brown traveling preseason?
He did some training today with the no contact hat off, so he's playing full contact
and did well
for a little bit.
Interruption. What was the bet that I had with Campbell Crom with the block of chocolate?
Morris Rioli Jr. and how many games he plays.
Was it? Or was it whether you're starting in round one?
Oh, was it starting round one? I can't remember. We'll have to go back and check.
We'll have to review the tape. If it's round one, Morris Rioli Jr. is an absolute lock for round one. But I digress.
Other halfback. I'm going to go see trainers a possibility too. But I reckon Caleb Smith might get a look at here. Yeah, Smith. Centre halfback.
Isn't Caleb Smith another WA lad, or is he South Australian? I think he's he's WA as well because they flew his parents over from Perth and he never got on the park.
Oh, that was shit. Jesus. Centre half back. So it's probably out of Ben Miller.
Well, I had Cozzy. I had Cozzy centre half back and I was thinking Miller would have been full back and I wasn't sure on my Blight's shoulder, so I don't know.
Yeah, probably Miller.
Yeah, Miller and Cozzy can obviously swap between.
Yeah.
Those ones on the wings. Who are we going for the wings? Oh, yeah, Cam. How are you, mate?
Ralph Smith. So and Hugo. For me.
Hugo on one wing. And who we got on the other wing? So who did you say, EJ? You said Banks.
I said Banks.
We've had some love for Campbell as well.
I'm hoping he plays a bit more in the middle.
Or do we have McIntosh, another senior body?
I'm saying Camden for the other wing.
He'll definitely go over, again, one of the leaders and WA boy.
Yeah, because we can't just play the younger. Yeah, I reckon Camden's probably the other one.
Well, I reckon Camden will go, but I reckon he'll start on the bench. But I'll write it down. I'll go K-Mac. I would have gone
back. That'll please the masses.
Yeah. No, we're going to get smacked for that one. That's good, boys. Well done. No, that's all right. in the centre, who we got one of the players in the centre? This will be interesting because this is going to be really open, I reckon.
I will say Hopper. Yeah. Go over.
Hopper.
100% agreeance, all three.
This feels experienced so far. Well, we'll push on. Half forward line. Who's getting half forward? I reckon Campbell and Mansell are almost locks. Or Lawler. Well, that's a good point, people.
I like what you said, Michaels. I think I think Campbell and who was the other one?
Mansell.
Nigel.
I think so. Yeah, I think so. Barring injury, I think they'll bring him over.
Centre half forward. This is where things get interesting. Harry Armstrong could do it. A Fawcett could do it. We're obviously strongly assuming that Lynch isn't going. Bauer would be another contender as well. Campbell Gray. How many do we try and fit in? Campbell Gray.
I'll say Bauer as my centre half forward.
I think Bauer's going to 100% play.
Yeah, I reckon it'll be great. I think we'll probably go maybe three tall.
Yep.
I think it'll be Gray centre half forward, Bauer in a pocket, and I think it'll be someone like Armstrong or Fawcett at a full forward.
Yeah,
I'll go Bauer. The positions are kind of.
Bauer's got that sort of hybrid ability that he can sit in the pocket.
Yeah, he's Bailey Fritch. He's the other version of Bailey Fritch.
I thought Armstrong would probably start on the bench. Was how I saw it.
So far, we've got Trezise, Cozzy, Broad. No one can read my handwriting. I understand that. Short, Miller, Smith, K-Mac, Hopper, Hugo, Ralph Smith, and then Seth Campbell, Bauer, and Mansell on the half forward line.
Yeah.
Full forward line.
I actually, with you holding your board up like that, I've got a strange compulsion to grab a meat pie and a can of Coke. I feel like I'm in the club rooms on a Thursday night.
Yeah, that's what it's all about. Team selection, get your Palmers.
I think for my two pockets, I'll have Lawler and I'll have Steely Green.
Is Steely another WA boy, is he? I saw someone right.
Yep.
Are we happy with... I think Lawler is probably unanimous. Steely Green, are you happy for the other one?
Yep.
Yeah.
Or what about Morris?
How's Jasper Alger going?
Oh, I'd love to see Jasper.
I've got him on the bench. I've got Armstrong and Alger probably on the bench.
Where does MRJ fit in?
He has to play. He's got to get legs in for round one.
Well, unless Law's on the bench and MRJ starting. But either way, they're in the...
Yeah. I'd start MJ and have Lawler on the bench.
Yep.
So then who's the other pocket then if Lawler's going to the bench?
Steely Green.
Why Steely?
Steely Green?
Yeah.
And full forward? Fawcett?
Yeah, I reckon
Fawcett. Well, that's a good call from James Racing. Will Rioli Jr. play because he's in the Indigenous game?
Wow.
Unless he plays... If he's already there, he might play the first period and then sit out.
That's it. Subs are due. Otherwise, you won't get a game this week. Who's on uniform duty? All the rest of it. So, yeah, do we scrap MRJ? Do we think that he is a chance to not play?
If he's playing, when's the Indigenous game?
The Saturday. So 2 days before.
He's probably no chance of playing.
There's no way. He's playing the scratch match. Yeah. No way.
Okay. So now we've still got Green. We need another forward pocket.
Lawler.
All right. Oh, fuck, I already had the magnet there. Full four.
So Aaron, it can't be Jonty. Jonty's currently working his way through a back injury at the moment in the rehab group. So he won't play.
Full forward feels like it's going to be out of Fawcett, Armstrong, Gray, Lynch won't play. It feels like it's out of those three.
Do they do Sampson Ryan and then play Hayes Brown as the ruckman?
So I had Samson Ryan's my starting ruck because I don't think we're taking we won't be taking Nan Curvis over, I don't think,
no,
to play.
No, absolutely.
Or so Sims, good call from Cameron. Is Sims a chance? Fawcett.
Fawcett full forward, I agree with you, Grock. Fawcett full forward, Ryan's your starting ruck, and on an extended bench, you've probably got Snack Pack.
All right, so I'll chuck Fawcett in at full forward. Ruck, are we all agreeing that Samson Ryan's going to start the ruck in this?
Yep.
Okay, so we've got two midfield spots to go. Are we sending Timmy Taranto over to play in this?
No.
No Timmy Jack Taranto. Rawson,
yeah. Jack Rawson, good call. Those two midfields. Yeah.
So we've got one more starting midfield spot. So at the moment, we've got Samson Ryan, Jack Ross, Jacob Hopper. Who else would you go in the midfield?
McAuliffe.
Yeah.
Ooh, is his foot right there? EJ's perked up here. Is his foot right? Smiley, I don't know if he's going to be back in time from injury. He didn't do the match sim today, so that doesn't fill me with great confidence. Okay. See, I'm kind of thinking that Seth Campbell might play in there as well, but we've got him at half forward.
What about Sonzi?
Sonzi? I would love to see Sonzi have a crack in there, to be honest. Dow's actually been doing some good stuff in matches as well.
Dow.
Are we going Dow for the last spot?
Dow and Alga need to go in.
So obviously I've not been on and I didn't hear any talk about the match, Sim. Was there any report on Sonzi?
Someone did ask the question on one of the posts and all it was kind of said he was, did some really nice things around the ground but not stand out, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So he's probably not shooting the lights out like he probably needs to force his way in. And I know that I've said, and even on a video, that we need to get him in the guts as often as we can. There's also an element that you've got to earn it too. But if he's not bashing the door down, there's not much you can kind of do there, I guess.
Yeah, yeah. Has anyone heard anything on him?
No.
Oh, right. Okay. I don't like saying this sort of stuff. I don't think he's in favour.
Okay.
I don't think he's in favour is what I'm hearing.
Yeah, okay. Well, I mean, look, as much as I'd love to see him in the midfield, the reality is he's still got to put in the work to put his name ahead of everyone else's. That's just how it is. All right, so the team we've got, the starting lineup, we've got Trezai, Skazitsky, Broad, Short, Miller, Smith, K-Mac, Hopper, Hugo, Seth Campbell, Bauer, Mansell, and then Green, Fawcett, Lawler, Samson right in the ruck, Jack Ross, and Thompson Dow as the other starting midfielder, which might draw some criticism from some neck of the woods, but that's okay. Bench, I feel like we're going to have, both teams will have a pretty lengthy bench, I imagine. So bench wise, I agree. Someone like an Elgar, McAuliffe. Who else would we have heading over there? Sonzi.
Do you have Banks?
No.
Didn't we?
Surely Banks is.
No, well, see, okay. Well, Banks. Yeah, Banks on the bench then.
Yeah, so I reckon that Banks and K-Mac will be occupying wings. I think Banks will get a go first, to be honest. Armstrong could be on the bench. I think he'll definitely go over to see get a taste of it.
Lawler will go over, I reckon.
Was there any word on Sims in the
nothing the match that team? No. But from other onlookers from previous weeks, it all sounded really positive that the club are really happy with how he was tracking. It's just a matter of getting him out into the park. But Trainer could be a chance as well. So we've got on the bench so far, Elgar, McAuliffe, Sonzi, Banks. So, and there's going to be a whole raft of others. There's going to be like your Campbell Grays, Hayes Brown's probably going to go over as well. I dare say there's going to be extended benches of like...
I love about 10, like 6 to 8 bikes. So
Yeah. We didn't actually include Tom Brown.
Well, but he's been, I reckon he'll be Collingwood. I reckon guys like Prestia, Brown... Yeah.
He only just took off that non-contact hat for part of today, so that's a fair call. Your own teammates will take it a bit easier than opposition players, I guess.
Yep.
So, anyone else we think we'll head over from the young brigade? I mean, they might all go over just to see what it's like to travel with the team, to be honest. But yeah, be interesting to see. See what the lineup's like, but looking forward to the Pracky game, which would be very, very good.
Footy, it's just footy. It doesn't matter if it's a practice game, just give me the footy.
Yeah, have we got Harley Reid in the guts? That's right, it's a bit of an audition for us from Harley Reid.
Be like the Under-9s if they smash us too much, where they swap, they give us a member of their team. Just Harley Reid just audition in a Richmond jumper.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
I think we've gone something there, about through. I think we've gone just about through everyone that's fit.
Yeah, I had the list up. That's why I was like, that's how I picked out Banks.
Yeah, and or not suspended.
Yeah.
Idiot.
Yes.
Yeah. Wow.
So, there we go. That was a fun exercise to do. I think that is just about a wrap, unless you've got anything else, EJ, that you wanted to speak about at all.
No. Oh, look, I have been that this time of the year, but I went under the pump. And so I got home and I looked at the clock and I thought, oh, there's a show. I'll pop on and say good day. So, yeah, I'm completely out of the loop. So
no, I love it. Aaron, we had Caleb Smith starting on the halfback line. We've got him starting at halfback for the game against the Eagles. John, no, Bolter cannot play. He's not allowed to play the West Coast game, Collingwood game, and then the first four AFL season games. So he's,
have we heard any more on that?
It's like been postponed to March 27th
for sentencing. No, but have the AFL got any extra overlay on it or?
No.
No, I think nothing. They're waiting. Yeah.
Have we heard anything about the West Coast player being filmed auditioning for Rocky 7 in the streets?
The Hungry Jack's flight? No.
No, we've heard nothing.
But also, the Dion Prestia insinuation and the Sorrento incidents died down pretty much too.
Yeah.
I made him at the club come out and knocked it on the head pretty early.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Liam Ryan stuff was dropped.
No comment.
Yeah. No comment. Oh, well. Will there be a live delayed call of match review? It's really difficult because the game's on 12:30 on a Monday afternoon. So I'm tipping a lot of us will be working on available. I just don't know if we'll be able to re-access it later on to do something at night. I might try and record it and then we can look to do something with it. Worst case, we'll do a show Monday night and talk about the game anyway. But yeah, I don't know how we'd be able to execute a live call or a replay call of some kind, but I'll have a bit more of a think about it. But yeah, worst case, we'll just do a normal Monday night show. But we'll see how we go there. Otherwise, Wednesday night, we'll be doing a show with Cam Hicks. I don't know whether it's live or not. We'll work that out. But it's going to be about the upcoming draft crop because we're probably going to have access to some pretty good talent there between our pick and North Melbourne's pick. So just a bit of an overview of what players we'll have, hopefully have access to. Then yeah, other than that, yeah, it'll be the Monday night show for after the West Coast game. We can see how we went. So hopefully we have a good hit out. But gents, thank you for jumping on tonight. EJ, very good to see you again.
Yeah, it's good to pop in and say good day.
Yeah, no, very good.
And good to see you. See you without a hat.
Yes.
When I shave my head, dead set, hats just do not, nothing sticks on there. It just slides up. Like I look like a homeboy from 1995. So it just, it doesn't work. So I was just going, no, natural tonight.
Very good. All right, well, that is a wrap for tonight. Thanks so much to everybody for tuning in. Make sure you get around us on the socials on X, Facebook, YouTube. We're closing in on 2,000 subs on YouTube, which is awesome. I think Twitter, we're on 3,200 followers, so we keep ramping up there. It's all guns blazing. It's going to be a big year for the Tiger Cast. Obviously, we've got merch coming out soon, the stubby holders and the football. So they will be on their way very shortly.
All right, everything's going to be all right.
We will launch pre-orders for the stubby holders and footballs soon. We're waiting for some imagery on all of that. And then, yeah, we'll have a couple of additional shows throughout the week during the year with chatting to some opposition people as well during the week, which would be good to get their take on things. And, yeah, as well as the normal program as usual. But thanks for everything tonight, gents. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, and we will see you on Monday night. Good luck to the Tigers for the West Coast game. And make sure you get on. I think there's a family day on Friday, you said, Grok, wasn't there? Family day on Friday, yep, at the club. Hit up the club website for more info there. They're usually pretty good days. So yeah, get along to that if you're available. Until next time, go Tigers.
And just remember, too, it's an 8-point game against West Coast. We really need to win this one.
Must win. This is season-defining stuff. Game. It's our grand final.
Season-defining.
Four points, or it's a failure.
Make sure if you win to let Mark Bickley know all about it.
Yeah, it's our first win. Yeah, very good. See you later, everybody.
See you, boys.